of the scriptures. I'm going to give you three passages of scripture, and each one is important, of course. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. You might want to jot it down. Genesis 18 and 14. All of these will be coming from the New Living Translation. Amen? Amen. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Second one is going to be Psalms 55, verse 22. And then the third passage will be 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Did I need to give it to you again? Okay. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. The second is Psalm 55, verse 22. And the third scripture is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Now I'll be reading from the NLT translations, all right? We understand that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Let's begin by Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. It says in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 18, the New Living Translation says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Don't miss that. And then Psalms 55, verse 22 says, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you." And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Give all," I wish somebody would listen to God, "give all your worries and cares to who? To God. For he what? He cares about you." Isn't that good news, somebody? I want to talk around the thought, the subject, the reality. God can handle your issues. God can handle your issues. Look around and say to somebody, "I know God can handle my issues." Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we come once again before your presence in the name that's above every other name, and that is the name of Jesus. I feel rejuvenated this morning. Not that I did less yesterday than I've done the day before, but it's a special kind of feeling. Perhaps the trauma workshop freed me up, set me free in some things, in some way. Whatever the case may be, God, we thank you for another day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you, God, for a right mind this morning. Some people take it for granted even to have a right mind. We could have woke up disoriented. We could have woke up confused and discombobulated. We could have just been all screwed up. But thank God for a right mind this morning. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our loved ones. Thank you for, God, a roof over our heads. Thank you, God, for giving us another chance. Thank you, God, for an opportunity to hear from you once again. Convict, convince, and convert with this message, God. It's your word. Set the captives free. We say yes to your will, yes to your word, and yes to your way. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray with thanksgiving always. And all of God's people said amen, amen, and amen. We began reading from Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Am I right about it? And verse 14 says, "Is anything," it asks the question, "is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." There's some things that God says in his word that, let's be honest, sometimes we kind of think, I know he said it, but I don't think I'm going to see that in my life. I don't know. Yeah. Let's be honest. We know the word for the most part, but there are some things that sometimes when we read the Bible, we say, well, that can't be for me. But God's word is for everyone. And the response to Abraham's wife, that's what it was in verse 14. What was the response to Abraham's wife? Because she laughed when the Lord told her that she would have a son the following year. Now, what's so wrong about that? Well, she was gonna be 90 years of age. Y'all ain't here. You know, it's not that you're not going to have a baby, but you might figure if it was you or you or you, I ain't going to say who you are, but 90? I'll repeat the questions, Elder. In verse 14 was, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I don't know. I've said it and I'm going to keep on saying it until the Lord, unless he says stop. But God works best in the realm of impossibility. Does anybody know that God works best when there's things that are impossible? In other words, when you know if it had not been for the Lord, it wouldn't come to pass. In your home, with your health, in this church, the same God I'm talking about who can see a black ant on a black rock at midnight. I probably won't finish this message today. It's going to probably be a part two. I'm seeing how the Holy Spirit says, we need to make sure everybody understands. I'm talking about the same God who knows the number of hairs on every head. You know, we're not just talking about anybody. We're talking about the God of heaven, the creator and sustainer of the universe, who speaks things into existence. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The same God who has power over life and death. I don't know about you, but I've had some friends and family members that have passed on over the years, and if it was according to my thinking, I should have been gone before them, but God. Hello, somebody. When the question was asked, is there anything too hard for God? Understand, it was a rhetorical question. Because the answer is obviously no. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. I don't know what your situation is, but nothing. Not a thing. What you've gone through, what you've been through, what you've yet to go through is too hard for God. I'm talking about God can handle your issues. Who among us this morning, let me not take for granted, who among us this morning, who out there, if the truth be told, doesn't have issues to deal with? Who out there, who in here would dare to say, you don't have to front on me, God can see. You got some folk that act like they don't have any issues. Like they got it. I didn't say you out there, but somebody out there, somebody in here perhaps, you say you don't have any issues. And God says, why are you lying? You got an issue when you say you don't have an issue.
That's right.
Never.
That's right.
The trauma presentation. Everybody has to deal with trauma at some point.
That's right.
Hello, somebody. Life issues are common problems and crises that happen to regular people just like you and me. Amen. Nobody's exempt. No one. I'm talking about issues. Say he's talking about issues. Because I don't want to act like, I don't want to assume that everybody's on the same page. And if you're going to be blessed this morning by this message, you've got to understand Pastor Point is talking about issues that God can handle. Because you don't want to leave out of here the same way you come in. You want to leave out of here freed up. Knowing that whatever issue, I didn't say he'll take away the issue, but he'll free you up from bondage to the issue.
That's right.
Did y'all, is that clear enough?
Yeah.
I'm talking about issues that include managing relationships so that you are healthy and functional. I'm talking about issues like surviving disabilities. Issues like coping with grief. When a loved one has passed away, issues. Issues like loss, when something that you had, you don't have anymore. Self-esteem problems. Somebody told you you'll never be any good, and that's the last thing you remember about him or her, and you've been held in bondage and captive. God is a liberator. Oh, y'all don't know that. God will set you free. His word. Issues has to do with something which remains unsettled. Issues. An issue can be a problem, listen, that makes you unhappy and is difficult to deal with. An issue. An issue can be a person, a place, or a thing. I'm talking about God can handle your issues. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Y'all need to get this. Proverbs 4, 23, the New King James Version says, keep your heart, listen to what God is saying. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, spring the issues of life. I'm reading the Bible. Out of the heart spring the issues of life. With that being said, the heart, therefore, is the command center of the soul. Where you feel. The heart is the command center of the mind, your will, and your affections. The heart is a high-risk, vulnerable place.
That's right.
Tainted by sin.
That's right.
Anybody ever had a broken heart?
Yeah.
Anybody ever experienced a broken heart?
Yeah.
Somebody that you thought loved you didn't love you?
Yeah.
Somebody that you hoped would love you has not loved you?
Yeah.
Somebody that gives you a lot of things but never says, I love you?
Yeah.
I don't want the stuff. I want you to love me. I don't want sex. I just want you to hold me and love. Oh my God, love me. Don't use me. Love me. You know there's a difference. Y'all looking, listen out there. Jeremiah chapter 17. Y'all need to get these passages. Verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the human heart, NLT translation, is the most deceitful of all things. See, don't get mad with me. God says, my heart and your heart, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And here we go. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Wow. God ain't holding back no punches. He said, who really knows how bad the human heart is? Man, that's kind of rough, Elder. I'm reading the Bible, man. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 17 says, But I, the Lord, search all hearts, your heart and mine, and I examine secret motives. Do you know, I'm going to preach this when God says it, Reverend Pointer. Secrets coming up. Everybody got a secret. Sister Keisha, I got some secrets. You can't tell every secret. You can't detail every secret. Aren't you glad there's some secrets Sister Eleanor, that only you and God know?
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all are like, is there anybody here that's glad that there's some secrets? Deacon Presley, is there some secrets? Ron, some secrets. John, some secrets that God says is between me and you. Oh, I ain't gonna tell you one of my priest's secrets. Y'all might not come. I'm just gonna come in and one day just say it. I might not even give it to Jonas. I will. I'm just teasing. He might put it out there. Pam put it out there on the screen. Out there, she does Facebook. His next sermon is secret. I'm sick that Sunday. I might have to go to five parts. One line, keep it a secret. Yeah, one line at a time. The Lord will search all hearts and examine, verse 10, secret motives. Why do you do the things you do?
Yeah.
You know, you look, but what's the motive? God wants a pure heart.
That's right.
Don't help me because you're trying to run game on me. Help me because you love me enough to want to help me.
Right.
Don't try to use me. Anybody, you don't want to be used.
Yeah, you're right.
Hold me up.
That's right.
Because you want to hold me up. Don't hold me up because you're expecting something. If you don't get it, throw me down.
Yeah.
Bible says, see, that's what you can preach on a verse.
Yeah.
Don't move no further. It says, I give all people their due rewards, verse 10. According to what their actions deserve. In other words, whatever you and I allow to enter our hearts, if not examined and evaluated properly, will be expressed in our lives and our actions in either a positive or negative way. Amen. You can tell the motives of individuals. Just wait. Days, weeks, maybe months, and sometimes even years. Amen. Is there somebody in here this morning that has an issue? Don't tell me. Anybody in here, raise your hand if you got an issue. Out there, an issue or problem. Could be directly or indirectly. I see somebody with two hands up. Amen. Being honest. There's somebody in here this morning dealing with an unsettled matter or issue, and you're looking for God to decide or to help you to make a decision concerning a trauma-inducing event. Wait a minute, what are you talking about trauma-inducing? Well, a trauma-inducing event can be an incident that causes you physical, emotional, spiritual, or psychological damage. Remember, I just said everybody has or will have problems, issues in your life. And the issues, the things most people wish taken away. Lord, take away this issue. I tell you what. I know I'm not by myself. I've had some, Sister Evelyn Little, I've had some horrible dreams that felt so real. And then I woke up and I was thankful that was not a real issue. Y'all ain't gonna help me. I have dreamt, anybody here had a nightmare?
Yeah.
Keisha, it was so real and traumatizing. Eleanor, it was so real. Eleanor, it was real, man. I had this dream, man. And then I woke up. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Daughter, thank you. That ain't real. I dreamt she died, he died, this happened. The wagon went over the cliff. The devil was on me, beat me up, and I was trying to call on Jesus, and all I could do was ching, 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 ching.
Yeah, yeah.
They were strangling me. Chuck, chuck, chuck. And then I woke up and said, Jesus. Y'all ain't gonna help me. The devil was trying to put me to sleep. He was trying to traumatize me. But I had to fight through it. Jesus. And I got a breakthrough. God wants to work out the eventual outcome of your issues. The things you got to deal with. For your good, my good, and his glory. Understand, I know I'm not going to get through this, so that's okay. Understand that throughout history, there are recorded incidents of biblical characters, male and female, who've had to deal with issues. So it's nothing new. Stop acting like it's something only you have to do. Everybody has had to deal with issues in here, out there. Stop being so. Some things you need to keep to yourself, but just admitting you have had issues or dealing with an issue is a good thing. It's therapeutic. You go to a psychologist and first thing they say, sit down, talk to me. Talk to me. When I sit in counseling, I don't know what you're going through. Talk to me. Then I know how to help you. I said throughout history, biblical characters, male and female, had to deal with issues. Remember Abraham? He avoided, listen, potential family drama issues with his nephew Lot concerning real estate or who was going to get the best property or grazing land for the animals. Come on, y'all, I know I got some Bibles reading. Come on, teachers in here. Genesis chapter 13, you read it. Remember, Abraham decided it was not worth arguing about property.
Yeah.
I'm not going to destroy our relationship. I'm not going to allow it to happen by me arguing about who's going to get what.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to get caught up in pettiness.
Yeah.
Because what God has for me, what God has for me, what God has for you and you and you and you and you and me is for me. I'm worried about who's going to get this and who's going to take. No, God says, no, you're not going to lose out. I know people, look, do you know that God sometimes adds by subtracting? God sometimes adds by subtracting. God will sometimes clear the house out so he can add. He'll get rid of some people, things, and stuff. Everything has a season. And when the season is over, God says it's time for a new planting season. Well, why am I still here? You still here for this season. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Let the devil tell you a lie. Well, everybody's leaving. God says that everybody ain't everybody. I got more folk coming. Am I right about it? Abraham, he was a man of peace, but he had some, here we go, boundary issues. Can I talk a little bit about boundary issues? Yeah, this is going to definitely be part two. I ain't even got through the third of it. Abraham was a man of peace. Y'all want to hear this? Out there. But he had, like we do sometimes, some boundary issues that had to be settled with his nephew Lot. Notice in a human relationship, a boundary is an invisible line in a human relationship. There's more than one definition, but in a human relationship, A boundary is an invisible line that defines what behaviors are acceptable for a person or individual. Boundaries. Amen, somebody. Boundaries can be physical. You know, like, don't touch me. Boundary. Boundaries can be emotional. Don't lie to me. Am I right about it? Boundaries also can be based on time or space, or on who owns what and how much. Boundaries. Boundaries are necessary. How many believe boundaries are necessary? Out there, do you boundaries? You need to set them. Sometime with your husband and wife, boundaries. Something simple is that when I'm in the bathroom, don't come in the door. Boundaries. Y'all looking at me funny. When I'm in my prayer closet, don't be knocking on the door talking about the Sixers won. Boundaries. Who gives a hoop? Boundaries are necessary. Setting boundaries is a form of self-care. How do we get in the boundary when we're talking about issue? Because there's an issue. Setting boundaries is a form of self-care. It helps to create, here we go, a clear guideline or rule or limits of how you would like to be treated and how far you can continue with an issue. Sometimes, you ever ask somebody, I'm done with this conversation.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it no more. Anybody ever said that?
Yeah.
Boundary. If we're going to talk about that, then look, we ain't going to be able to talk. Boundaries. Don't bring that up to me no more. Boundaries. I heard it the first time. I don't need to hear you keep on every time we get together before you say good morning. You're talking about this, that, or the other. Boundary. Boundaries let other people know what is acceptable and not. What's okay and what's not okay. We need boundaries because it prioritizes our needs and wants. We need boundaries because sometimes people disrespect us. Am I right about it? I've said it a lot of times. I'm past the point. I'm not caught up on titles, but some people need a title in order to respect me. Y'all ain't gonna help me. I've had where I was friendly with some people or an individual, and you know, we were all right and looking at the game or something, and then he started talking about, hey, George, this, that, and the way, you don't know me like that. I don't know you like that either. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Boundaries. Because when you deduce the title in some people, then you lose respect and they become just somebody. Ain't nobody. Am I right about it? Boundaries. In other words, when you're clear about your boundaries, people will understand your limits. Amen. So sometimes people say, well, you didn't tell me. And they might be right. You didn't tell me how far you can go. Well, you didn't say a word. Well, when I ignored you when you said it the first time, didn't you hear what I said? Y'all missed it. When I ignored you, I was talking all the time till you said that. You heard me giving you back and forth communication until you mentioned this. And you didn't hear nothing. You crossed the boundary. People, when they know your boundaries, they'll adjust their behaviors. Hello, somebody. People who don't respect your boundaries are the ones you need to check. Amen, somebody. You might have to check somebody at the expense of maybe we're not going to be friends no more. But at least, am I right about it? Am I talking to myself? Healthy boundaries we're talking about can also build you up, give you greater self-esteem. I'm not going to keep talking to people that every time I talk to you, you keep talking about other people and putting them down. Boundary. Every time I get around him or her, she keep talking about what's wrong. I don't want to keep talking about what's wrong because there's some things that are right and all you keep talking about is something's wrong. Boundary. I didn't ask you how many people to go there to count. You didn't come to church to count, did you? God can have you counting at home. You came to church to hear a word from the Lord, not to find out who's here and who's not here. Boundary. Establishing boundaries can limit or cut down on the issues or problems that happen because of life circumstances. I'm talking about God can handle your issues. I'm getting ready to hasten to a close because I'm going to have to go to part two. Not only, Reverend, did Abraham have to deal with issues in his life, but also remember Isaac, his son, had to deal with, here we go, listen, repeat mistake issues. When he responded to famine in the land, he thought about going back to Egypt. A place that he had been delivered from. Y'all ain't hearing God. God delivered you out of something. Now you freed up. And now you start inching back to what God pulled you out of. That could be a man or woman. He delivered you, set you free from that relationship. And now, because you hear somebody call you honey. I can call you honey, you desperate honey. I ain't gonna call you like I call my wife honey because there's a special ring to it. Listen, Sister Mary, I was in the supermarket, been in there a couple times. And you know, I parked and she went in and I can't see her. I said, honey, ain't nobody in call like me. And I hear from somewhere, aisle five, hey. Women all around me, but my honey knows my voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Oh! Isaac began to go south, trying to head back to Egypt. And God warned him not to go any further. Understand this. This is a teaching moment. Teach you like you had teaching and helpful. See, the name Egypt is a type of world image. Yeah. Don't get some Israeli people from Eden and say he talking. No. In the Bible, oftentimes when you hear the word Egypt, it's associated with the world. God had delivered them out of Egypt. In some context, to be Egypt is synonymous with sin and bondage. Is that helpful to anybody? But Isaac was supposed to live in a land that God told him to live in, and that was not Egypt. God promised Isaac, I'm going to be with you and bless you if you're obedient. Who is God talking to this morning? You want God to do this and that? God said, when you start being obedient, because I'm not going to bless your mess. Right. Y'all missed it. Right. I'm talking about your issues that God can handle. Let me give you maybe one more. How many can I get? One, two more? What, 5 minutes? Jacob had sibling revenge issues. Come on, I'm talking about stuff that ain't nothing new. Back there still happened. You got siblings. You can't stand your brother. Your brother can't stand you. You can't stand your sister. Your sister can't stand you. I'm going to take it a step further. You can't stand your mother. And your mother can't stand you. You can't stand your father. I ain't speaking to him. If I see him, I'm going to punch him in his mouth. And he can't stand you. Jacob had sibling revenge issues when he was afraid to meet with his brother Esau, whom he had cheated out of the family blessing 20 years earlier, Genesis chapter 32. You remember the problem between Esau and Jacob? As the eldest son of Isaac, Esau should have inherited the covenant with God that Abraham had passed on to Isaac. But Esau traded his birthright, his inheritance to his younger brother, Jacob, for some food. He was hungry. Now you say, where was God? Didn't God? Because you know, Jacob was kind of a deceiver. God can use, oh, y'all don't see God all up in here. Some of us were deceivers, liars, cheats, whoremongers, and murderers, and dope things. And come on, don't make fun of Jacob. We was all some stuff up in here. I ain't gonna tell you, but I was something. You were something other than sitting in church. Don't act like you a holy roller, whatever that means. No, we all was a mess. But God picked us up, turned us around, placed our feet on solid ground. Say yeah. Say yeah. God can handle your issues. That's part one. Give God some praise.